Welcome to the Pitch House podcast. We're Pitch House Cinemas, if you don't know the brand. We're showing your film nationwide and we're really excited to see it.
Thank you.
No worries. And congratulations on such a phenomenal film. It's so brilliant. How does it feel bringing it to the UK audiences at the BFI London Film Festival?
For me, and this is Tyler, by the way, writer, director Tyler.
I'm Michael.
Just so the audience can hear us or know who we are. For me, it feels amazing. I'm really grateful. I think, you know, when we came out in America, there's a really high chance it was going to disappear and not do well financially and therefore really not get distribution in other countries. And we did really well over there over the past 9 weeks. And we're the number one platformed film in America so far this year. So coming over here, it feels like it's really special. It's a different energy. It's accepting, and people you know, we saw an advertisement in the tube.
Oh, amazing. Oh.
And we didn't have that kind of P&A. We didn't have advertising or billboards or anything we're in America. We had like a commercial on the Hallmark Channel and a trailer. And although I'm really grateful for those things, it is really cool to come over here and see like posters.
You could say it spread its wings.
Yeah.
Totally. You literally could. How has the response been so far, like from the festivals and from here? Have you heard any good like responses?
I mean, the festivals in the States were really great. I think, you know, like we're an audience film. It's fun to, you work on something for a lot of years and you don't know exactly how an audience is going to respond. And when you get in a theater in festivals, I think you see like, oh, wow, this is working. Or I didn't know that was going to be funny, or it is. And then Tyler and I, we've been sort of in Los Angeles sneaking into screenings even, and hearing audiences respond and clap at the end is really common. So it's been great, and I'm excited to be here in London as well. I think there's a little bit more, like Tyler was saying, a little more anticipation that's built up.
Yeah. There's I mean, from the audience that I've seen, there's a lot of gasping and face grabbing and like smiles coming out of the screenings.
Well, you're clapping. Like Mike and I will sneak into the theaters. And it's in our, like, I've probably snuck in about like 50, and Mike might have gone to more. We'll sneak into theaters, and I hear it pretty much all the time at the end of the film, people clapping. And that's something I never heard in theaters before, was people just clapping and cheering for the end scene, which I won't tell anybody listening to spoil it. But like, it's so cool to be like, wow, like people are cheering in a movie theater. It's really uncommon.
I think it's really common for small movies, especially, to feel really sad.
Yeah.
I think Tyler and I really set out to make something that would feel good.
Yeah. I do have to say that, though, leading up to the end sequence, I did go like, no. Like constantly throughout like the whole end sequence.
That's what
like,
we wanted you to do.
just like a little face grabbing going, this can't be happening. So it is. It's a very like provocative and emotional film. So yes. Congratulations on that again. I mean, I have to start with what inspired you to make this movie?
I mean, we really wrote it for Zach, who stars in the movie. We'd met him, I think, 8 years ago now at a camp for people with and without disabilities. And he wanted to be a movie star. And he just owned that in a conversation. And we had, we spoke about how hard it is for people to become a movie star and that there aren't a lot of roles written for people with disabilities. And he's so confident and so positive. He just said, cool, you guys write and direct. I'm an actor. Let's do it together. And then we started shaping the character sort of around his likes and dislikes. He loves wrestling. He's a very funny person. So, you know, I think a lot of the humor in the movie comes from what kind of a person Zach is and how connected he is as a human being in his own way, magnetic. You know, like the way he is on camera, you can't look away from him.
He just owns the movie. He is just completely lights up the screen.
Yeah.
And every second he's on the screen.
I totally agree. And thank you for not that compliment to me, but thank you for that. We saw that in Zach and wanted to share that with the world. And it's really nice, you know, like we really believed that if we created an opportunity for Zach to be seen in a certain way, that people would recognize he is a phenomenal actor. And it is really cool, you know, that we're starting to, you know, like it's fun to read on Twitter. Like people are like, Zach deserves a nomination. He's phenomenal.
So good.
And it's really cool to be like, whoa, like we knew it. We knew it was there, but it's really fun to be like, to see, like, people are responding and, you know, awards chatter. And it feels like we, I don't want to say we did the, it doesn't feel like it came from myself or Mike, I'll speak for both of us. It doesn't feel like it came from us, but it feels like we created an opportunity for the world to get to see Zach in the way we saw him. And it feels amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, this is going to be, I've been trying to word this question, right? Because I don't want to say being sensitive to issues, because I don't think that's the case here, because you pretty much just let him shine throughout the whole film. But is there a degree where you have to kind of be, you just want to just showcase that people with disabilities can just do anything?
Yeah, I think we've, the really important thing for us was to make a movie with our friend Zach. And Zach just happens to have Down syndrome. So there was a, I think there's a danger with representation to go too saccharine or to go
inspiration porn.
Yeah, overly soft. And I think we knew our friend Zach well enough, and we knew that he gets frustrated, and we know he has goals, and we know he's also happy, and he can also be sad. And I think a lot of characters with disabilities are represented, you know, sort of as either like sad stories or overly like magical. And I think it was really important to us to just show Zach as a human being. And, you know, obviously he plays the character so well that it really feels authentic. But to us, it was like all characters we want to be authentic. The Shia LaBeouf character, we want to be authentic. The Dakota Johnson character, we want to be authentic.
Yeah. What I love about this movie is that it feels like it's a good play on perceptions on all three characters, because they all have like that kind of cardboard 2D character at the front of it, and then you sort of unravel them throughout the film, and that goes across all three of them.
Yeah.
So how did you implement that? Was that like just naturally with the writing process?
Gosh, you know, I don't want to say like we're good writers, because that's not cool to say, but I think we are fans of writing and fans of character. So I guess when we were writing characters, we wanted everyone, even, you know, John Hawks's character Duncan, we wanted even that guy to have backstory and history and depth.
And motivation made sense.
Yeah, yeah, and sort of kind of a humanity to him, so he's not just like this kind of angry villain. That
right.
He's trying
to take care of his family.
He is, and he has this moment of like not forgiveness, but of like.
He's a human being.
Yeah.
We're all flawed in our own beautiful, unique ways. Just, you know. So, yeah, when we were writing, I think it was really just making sure every character had depth. And had, I mean, even Samson, like, has a whole backstory that we didn't get into. But we had, like, even Samson has a backstory. Even Saltwater Redneck has a backstory. You know, what sort of hopes and dreams did he have? What did he miss out on? So that was just part of the writing process, I think.
Absolutely. And it's got this really authentic road trip kind of feeling to it, because they'd be like a whole heap of different and unusual characters along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So did you draw any inspiration from any road trip movies, or are these like people that you've met along the way?
That sort of people that we met along the way more than other movies. You know, there's the Jasper character. There was a guy that we had to go and shoot a proof of concept, because no one would read the script when we first wrote it. So we went and shot this sort of a short trailer to show the world and to show that Zach could do the job. And while we were out shooting that in North Carolina, we met this guy that was perfectly blind Jasper. And when we were shooting in Savannah, there was a guy at the barbecue that we were like, this is the perfect Craig. We asked him to be in the movie.
Winky. Rob Thomas.
Yeah, there's a guy named Rob that we got Shy a job on his crab boat. We really liked him. He actually called both of us yesterday. Yeah. We got to call him back. So Shy worked on his crab boat, and we were getting ready to shoot a scene, and we were just like, hey, why don't you do this scene, Rob? Like, he was just a crab fisherman. You know, the guy, Winky.
Yeah.
He's just a guy, a crab fisherman. So we just, feels good to bring people in that feel really authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. And when did Shia come on board? Because he and Zach have, like, the best chemistry, and they're the best buddy comedy indie I've seen all year. And he just really shines as Tyler, who just looks at Zach and has no prejudice.
Right.
He just treats him normally, even if he's frustrated or angry. Or
yeah. I mean, Shia came onto the project, like, we'd been preparing for years. And then he came in and had such an intensity about becoming present and connecting with Zach immediately. So he heard about the project from Ben Foster, who was originally going to play that role, and FaceTimed Tyler and I and just said, hey, I saw this trailer, this proof of concept that you guys made. I really want to do that. I want to make that. And we said, you know, obviously, okay. Like, we love Shy. I'm a huge Shy. I think he's one of the best actors in the world.
Picture of him FaceTiming us. He holds a phone.
It's a great photo. Yeah,
he holds a phone very close to his
way too close. You can't see his ears. But he cared so much and so purely, and he prepared so well. And part of his preparation was connecting with Zach and connecting with us and connecting with the story. And I think it radiated out with this ripple effect that everybody on set, you know, wanted to care as much as Shia, and I think as much as we did. And we got lucky because everybody wanted to do it.
That's amazing. And there's so many familiar faces in here. But what I love is that Bruce Dern is having this kind of moment of indie film.
Yes.
Just popping up as like indie film. Well, like,
hey, Quentin Tarantino's film ain't no indie film. Yeah. Even though it does kind of feel that way, doesn't it? Yeah, it really does.
It's the best $100 million indie film of the year.
Damn right. Yeah.
You'd just be watching a film, if it needs an old man in it, then it's guaranteed that Bruce Dern is going to like appear at some point in this movie.
Yeah.
And was it like working with this like acclaimed actor?
It's amazing. He's... our producers, Albert Berger and Ron Yerxa, had made Nebraska with Bruce Dern. So we thought, you know, we got a shot at this guy. So Albert, like, please call Bruce. We'd love for him to do it. And he said yes, and he showed up on set and, you know, immediately started telling stories to Dakota about how he worked with her mom and maybe even her grandma. Yeah. And he had he would hold court. Everybody would just sit around him and he'd say, you know, and when I was doing this on the John Wayne movie, or I was doing this on the Tarantino movie, or he's such a good storyteller.
We forgot to make a movie.
Yeah, we did.
He's so good, we forgot to shoot him. We were forgetting to shoot.
Yeah, our producers, the first day Bruce Dern was on set, they're like, remember, you guys are making a movie. You have to shoot the scene. We're just like, I just want to listen to Bruce Dern talk.
It's like an extra shooting. It's fine. We'll just listen to Bruce Dern talk.
Right.
Throughout it. Or, Your film's been, there's a lot of allegory to Mark Twain and Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah.
Was that your intention to like make this kind of adaptation of the story?
It wasn't an adaptation. I think there's similarities. You know, our real intention was to tell Zach's story, or like a story that Zach would do well in, combined with what we could get for free. So we knew, like, Tyler grew up in the Outer Banks, North Carolina. We knew we could borrow boats. We knew we could like tell things that existed in that lifestyle. And then, you know, storytelling-wise, I think Tyler and I are both drawn to classic literature, drawn to Mark Twain. There's a way that he does humor and drama that's really well done. Yeah, it feels
nice
good.
Rope.
Yeah. But I don't think we were trying to adapt Huck Finn in any way.
Yeah, no. It's actually sort of funny because, I mean, I know where that came from, but it is also sort of funny that people are like, talk about that a lot. In a good way. It's just because I never expected people.
It's a compliment. Yeah. It's an incredible compliment.
Yeah. Wonderful compliment. It's just,
Yeah. I mean, especially comes in when the raft gets built, and that's when you're...
Totally, yeah.
How was it building that raft? Like, did you just have a vision, or were you just like, make me something? And
In that trailer that we shot, or the proof of concept, we just went out to a junkyard, and Tyler and Zach built that raft in about an hour while we were running camera on it.
Yeah, just chainsaws and hammers, and it took us about an hour. And then we did the same thing for the raft in the movie, and basically just recreated it. But yeah, we were, Mike and I and Zach, when we shot the proof of concept, we were sailing that raft within an hour of even starting to build it.
That's amazing. Was that a lot of fun, just to like play with this?
So fun.
I grew up on the water, and I know a lot about boats. And sorry, it was an inside joke from a short film. Mike and I just had a giggly moment.
He doesn't know shit about goats.
It's a line from a short film that we made that don't even, is it not in, it's not, yeah, even, in, it's not even in the movie
it's
anymore.
It's a line from that we cut from a short film 5 years ago, so it's really funny to us.
8 years, yeah, anyway. So, I grew up with a lot of boats, so I knew how to build a raft pretty quick.
That's amazing. So have you guys been working together for a long time?
Yeah. Like 10 years. We were friends. Like, we met in a parking lot in Los Angeles almost 14 years ago. We were friends for a few years, and then we started making commercials together and short films, and then this is our first feature, and then we have some stuff coming up as well.
Yeah. Amazing. Do you guys have like a different dynamic on set? Would you like feed off one another? Or?
I think we feed off one another. I love working with Tyler. It's like, I think he's better than me at a lot of things, so it's great to be there and just say, like, Tyler, like, I know he's going to know how to make the raft look really cool. I know he's going to know how to connect with an actor, or... I also know he's going to be really open if I have an idea. You know, it's I don't think either of us really have that.
We have no ego.
Well, I'm so good at having no ego.
No.
Collaboration is cool. How about that?
Yeah.
Wherever the idea comes from. If it came from, if you were on set and you're like, hey, did you think about this? I'd be like, oh, that's a great idea. Or, yeah, thought about it. That's not it.
Yeah.
It's just knowing very quickly whether the idea is good or not, but it doesn't have to come from us.
And this is your debut feature. So going from like commercials to shorts to this like massive feature, was that a difficult, do you have any difficulties doing that?
Getting it made, yes, yeah. But once we were on set, it felt very natural. I don't think there was time to do anything else other than just make the movie.
Yeah, I think there's a common theme with indie films that because you don't have a big budget or a lot of shooting days, you just kind of, that's it. You produce this amazing debut feature off the bat.
Well, thank you. I mean, I didn't say it, but it feels good. It feels nice to hear you say that. Yeah.
And caring at every moment, even, you know, like I said, we prepped for 4 years before we shot. And then edit took a year and a half, maybe two. So just caring a lot every part of the way.
Yeah, we like wrote the end song. We worked on the music really, really closely. Like we didn't, it wasn't, it wasn't like, we weren't hands off with anything. So when it took us, like when we say it took us a year or two to get all the editing and music right, it's because we cared immensely. And those performances in edit weren't right until they were perfect. And even then we went and fixed them a little bit.
Well, it worked. Mm-hmm. It worked. The feature is phenomenal. It's just a really good, like, to feel good film, like people were saying in that cliche. Yeah. What I do love is the bays and the straits and the marshes and where you film. How tricky was it filming on the waters and like in that kind of landscape?
It was tricky. when we made the short piece again, I keep talking about the proof of concept. We could move around with three or four of us fairly easily. When you have like a 60 person crew, you need an armada of boats. So I think there was because it was our first feature, we just didn't, the things that you normally shouldn't do, you just wouldn't write. We just wrote and we're like, oh, we can figure this out. There's the scene where Zach walks across the water. It almost looks like he's walking out of water towards Shia. Like we had to go out and find that. And it was a sand island, an hour boat ride, you know, down this river. And the tide changes really fast there. So we had basically 45 minutes to shoot that scene. But I think because we had all the restrictions, it came out just how it needed to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you work with Rachel Morrison on this.
No, we work with Nigel Bluck.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But Rachel's great.
I love Rachel. I love you might be talking about the future because I want to work with Rachel. Yeah.
Just the future. I'm really sorry about that. So like, the cinematography is like phenomenal in this.
Yes.
Like,
I mean, Nigel really brought a great aesthetic to it. He, doesn't. We wanted to, partially budget, but partially look, nothing really lit. So Nigel's really great with natural light. Nigel's really great with, we didn't want to do a handheld thing. We wanted composed, you know, sort of a classic Disney thing to help it feel timeless. And Nigel was so good on a small budget like ours. I think it's a really hard style to shoot.
It's asking a lot to be like, it's composed and wild and loose and tight, you know?
Yeah.
And so, a lot of fire scenes, like a lot of campfire by the firelight kind of scenes.
Right.
Which really like just looks so gorgeous on the screen.
Yeah, even the night scene, there's like a few night scenes with like where they're on a boat and you're just like, hey, Nigel, the only thing we're going to use is moonlight. And we asked a lot. Excuse me.
Yeah, if we need a bonfire on a raft and moonlight, figure it out. And I was like, yeah, we got that.
It's right, and it works. It does. It just works. It's gorgeous to look at, and it's got this amazing feel to it. And also, just bringing it back, you mentioned the music. The music is so good.
I would agree. I think it's really special. We write to music, so a lot of the scenes, pretty much all the scenes, we had playlists for. So we would have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 songs for every single scene. So when we were getting ready, we'd play the music for the actors to get to get that feeling, and then most of those songs found their way into the movie. Like Yola Tango, Green Arrow is one of my favorite songs.
And Staple Singers,
Gregory Allen Isaacoff, mm-hmm. The end song, which we wrote, again, not to pat ourselves in the back.
But also the composing team, like Zach Dawes, Jonathan Sadoff, did a great job with the original score as well. Like, it's really special.
Amazing. Well, you've got such a special film on your hands. So congratulations yet again. And good luck with the BFI Film Festival and its general release. And I hope it does so well.
Thank you so much for coming to talk to us.
I hope it soars like any of a bird allegory.
Yeah. From your lips to God's ears.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks.